to live righteously. It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's episode number 376. This will be an Articles of News episode. If you like those, stay tuned, man. We got all sorts of news for you. Coming up at the end of this episode, I have myself and Kurt Frankum from Leading Saints. We're going to talk about all the changes in the Church Handbook of Instruction, where two became one, and it became online. So stick around for that.
You talk about all of them? Every single
change?
Talk,
even where there are commas that were changed to semicolons.
Okay. I'm interested.
Why this episode is 9 hours and 12 minutes. So stick around that at the end. That voice that you hear, he's in Texas. He's not, although his picture would indicate to me that he's in the old school tabernacle. It's Andrew. You don't have a nickname either, do you, Andrew?
I don't. You need to find one for me.
Okay.
Figure one out.
We could ask
the people. We could ask everyone else. What's my nickname?
People, what shall his nickname be? I used to be really good at nicknames, or like when there are several people around, I feel like I can be pretty good about making up a nickname for someone. But when it's like me and you, it'd be like if I was like, "Hey, Andrew, make me laugh," and then instantly it's like, "Oh, okay, all right, I'll make you laugh now."
Here's the only nicknames I've ever had. So I had AJ because my name's Andrew Jason. So
I'm not calling you AJ. Nope.
The other one was in high school. Like every day I came in this door and all my friends would be like lockering right there. And so mm-hmm. they'd yell out my name, Andy. Mm-hmm. So then one day I said, "Hey, it's kind of like Norm from Cheers." Mm-hmm. So that was the worst thing to have ever said, because mm-hmm. for the next like year, they all just called me Norm.
Norm? And I could maybe get behind a Norm. I want you to know.
I don't know if I should have brought that up.
Yeah, well, see, I feel like
no, I'd be fine with Norm. My grandpa's name is Norm.
I feel like you just did to yourself what you had done back in high school. And if we aren't learning from the past, Andrew, what are we doing?
That's right. I don't know what we're doing.
Andrew. Norm. See, but the problem with calling you Norm is I can't just call you like, yeah, Norm. I can't do that. It has to always be Norm, and I just don't know I have the vocal capacity.
Yeah, I think it would be distracting as well. We're talking about something serious, and then every time you refer to me, you'd be like, Norm.
Yeah, although, see, and back to my point, I think that I could call you Norm if there were more than just me and you here doing this episode. I think I could fully be like, oh, yeah, you know, we got Robin the Red here and, just doing the Zoom line in with us all the way from Texas. Norm, right? Like that.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Your nickname comes with too many restrictions, too many guidelines with your nickname.
It's got baggage.
Yeah.
It's got baggage.
And one of them is How Bad I Want to Eat You. You know that song? There's a pop song. This is a little peek into the curtain at the Stedman household. So there's the song, and people will know. And as a DJ, I should know the name of it off the top of my head. But it's not my favorite song. That's why I don't know. It's we got issues, and one of them is how bad I need ya. And I can't think of. And it's called Issues, I think, is the name of the song. But on a trip to Hawaii a couple years ago, my now wife and I, when we were just dating and visiting Hawaii, we started to come up with alternate lyrics to that song because it was terrible and on the radio every other song. And so one of those lyrics that we came up with was, and I got issues, and one of them is that I want to eat ya. And so when you said baggage, I don't know.
There's some baggage to that story.
Sounds like
you found the right one though.
Yeah,
she's willing to do that kind of goofing off.
And patient, because like I mentioned, you know, being able to chat with Kurt, being able to chat with you, producing two episodes of the Cultural Hall every week—that's 2 hours. You of all people love the Cultural Hall. I know I can say that about you. And how many episodes are you behind?
I'm four, yeah. Four or five.
Right.
Just been throwing them out there so fast. I haven't been able to keep up.
I am a content machine.
Yeah, you are. You're really just pulling it out. You're just like throwing content out.
You want another one? Boom. You didn't even ask for one, and I gave you one. Boom.
And boom, it came up.
Yeah.
I'm excited to go on the one you posted today about Julie De Azevedo Hanks.
Yeah.
I want to get them in order. If I do that one first, I'll never go back and catch up.
That is true. You will never go back.
So I've got to do them in order, and I will.
So now you just let everybody know when we were recording this, and that's fine.
Oh, sorry.
I got an email. You can always email us, contact@theculturalhall.com. Then I want to check up and see what's new. You remember that I share any email that comes into contact@theculturalhall.com. And I want to be able to reference those who are interested in the show, who are helping program the show. And just recently, I had been going through a bunch of emails. This particular one was from a guy named Nate. Nate asked if we had ever interviewed Burgess Owens. He says he thought it would be great and fascinating. And I replied back and said, hey, yeah, you know what? I did get this one done. Hope you were able to check it out and that you liked it. And he said, yeah, it was great. So now this is his reply to me. And then this is what I love about emails to contact@theculturalhall.com or really just emails when you interact with a show available in podcast form. So this is... I had already replied to Nate saying, we did the episode, hope you liked it. He says, yeah, it was great. And then he says, also, did you happen to attend the 4A girls swim meet? 4A is a level of class of high school, right? So small schools mm-hmm. are 1A up to like 6A. Did you happen to attend the 4A girls swim meet a couple weeks ago at BYU? I thought I saw you. Thanks, Nate. Now... it's very
so
like
now I want to know too.
Yeah, I did not go to that swim meet, but it is very likely.
Who's the doppelganger that's going to those swim meets?
That poor unfortunate fellow, who looks like me. Sorry, world. It could be though, and my thought is because I work down at the BYU, maybe he just saw me on my way to the car or walking around campus, getting myself a bite to eat. Maybe he went, is that Richie? Another follow-up email. I thought this was great, too. Again, contact@theculturalhall.com. Now, on the last articles of news, I shared this email that said, hey, can you guys help us out? There was an episode called Early to Part, and I was like, I don't know what that is. So this is the email in response, and I won't always do this, but these are some sort of funny interactions that I had. This is Ben, who says, hey, Richie, after my brother heard you mention me on the show, he got back with me really quick and was sharing with me that it was an early episode that was a two-part episode. His phone auto-corrected to early two-part missing the episode. He looked it up. He sent me a link. Everything is taken care of. And thank you for making me famous, according to my brother, Ben. So if getting your name mentioned on the Cultural Hall makes you famous, Ben, you sweet.
Sounds like he's so famous, his brother, who already knew him, was able to recognize him.
Right? Too funny. Too funny. And as far as the other emails to the show, we'll keep those for upcoming episodes. You can always let us know, contact@theculturalhall.com. Would love to hear from you. Love to know what you've got going on. Love to know if you have connections for us to talk to particular guests. If there's an avenue, a stream of thought that we have not yet addressed, maybe you want to come on and do some news. You think, man, if Andrew can do it, surely I can do it.
I can barely do it.
Yeah, I'd be open to hearing something like that. Andrew, tell if there is, and there does not have to be, have no pressure. If there is anything that you would like to share that people should know about you.
Let's see.
I mean, of recent, we've sort of introduced you before. But I mean,
probably just the normal stuff. Like I was working on a book last time I was on, I completed the crappy draft is what I call it. The rough draft.
Do you have a due date, a date that we'll be able to get it just in time for the holidays?
It depends. I think likely I'll probably self-publish it just on Amazon or iTunes before the next holidays, probably around October, November.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I've got a lot of work on it. So, you know, it's fun as you do something like this, you realize that there's a lot of work still to do. Just because you finished the rough draft doesn't mean there's not like
a bajillion hours of edits to do.
Edits and learning to maybe craft something differently. Maybe I was trying to tell a story one way and it just doesn't come off that way. So there's a lot of cool things like that. But I think likely around Christmas you'll be able to,
nice,
you know, download it, read it.
I would like the what are they called, thumb drives? I would like a thumb drive for a stocking stuffer. I'd like your book for all the panelists of the Cultural Hall.
I'll
send you the thumb drives, and we'll we'll put your book on, make a stocking stuffer.
Yeah, there we go. I'd be happy to do that. Nice. It may not be the final, the final like iTunes product, but I could probably make it an EPUB or whatever.
Okay.
Whatever they wanted.
I would love that. It's more just the gift that keeps on giving, that thumb drive,
yeah, that's right,
in the toe of everyone's Christmas stocking.
I like to be in the toe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a good place if you think about it. You don't, the heel.
That's where you get walked on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And those heels are made for walking, and that is just what they'll do.
That's right.
One of these days, these heels are going to walk right over you. I know it's boots, everyone. Calm down. I'm trying to think if there is anything of note and or of interest that has happened with me recently that I should share. This isn't necessarily church related, but I will share this because I thought it was funny and it's recent. I don't know if you have a temper, Andrew, if you're pretty even-tempered, if you allow yourself to be baited into arguments. In my much younger youth, I found myself being able to be baited at the slightest provocation. But as I've gotten older, I just find myself getting too worked up, and it's just not worth it. But there was a message earlier, in addition to this, as you'll hear in the ads we do, I also do DJ work. In fact, this very evening, I'm going to do a teen dance where people will, ooh, awkwardly stand around those of the opposite and the same sex and not dance and tell me my music is poor and then go home full of angst. But
that sounds right.
Yeah, that's about it. That's about
teenagers. We call them stomped. You can call them teenagers. Yeah.
Well, so I asked, is this a stomp? And no, it's not at a school. It's in a community center. And they are calling it a teen dance because you have to be at an age that ends in teen to be able to attend.
So it's a teen stand around, listen to music.
Yeah. And there'll be food. And it's 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Oh, 2 hours.
So it'll be plotting. They're putting me on a stage. In hopes of like elevating my status, we'll see. But there's this group which I belong to on Facebook, which I think at this point, like if we all want to talk about how, you know, we think that there's going to be the mark of the beast, like in our hands or, you know, a tattoo or some sort of thing, I think it's Facebook. I think that's the mark of the beast. I'm sort of being serious and pretty much just joking. Everyone who is about to email us, contact@theculturalhall.com. So this guy gets on and he's talking about how the DJ industry is so inflated and that I can't believe that anyone would pay more than $500 for a DJ, even if that DJ is at their event all day long.
Oh,
and trust me, there are tons of things like that, right? People, you know, frustrated brides and grooms. And I get it, because if you're on a budget, I recently planned a wedding. It can be frustrating if you're like, you have this vision of what you'd like, but the means to be able to get that, whatever that is, aren't there. It gets frustrating. You start to have to, just like life, say, well, what's important? I'm going to do the important things and everything else will be left over. So I get it when brides and grooms are coming at it. But this guy was a DJ. And what he was doing was he was letting everybody know, hey, what I can do for you is I will do this. I will do your wedding no matter what for $300. No matter how many hours, no matter where in the state it is, within reason, he said, I will do it. And I just couldn't leave it alone. My wife's voice rang in my ear saying, leave it alone. You're going to get worked up about this. And I just was like, you know, I don't think I can leave this one alone. Leave it alone, I heard her voice saying.
I have a feeling where I know where this is going.
I didn't leave it alone, Andrew.
That's what I think.
Norm, if I may, I did not leave it alone. I said, well, everybody, first of all, person's name. I said, here's the deal. I think that you're ignorant in what you do for a living, and I think it's insulting what you're saying about those who are your peers whom you work among, allegedly. And so then, yeah, he messages back and lets me know, you don't even know me, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And then he starts to try and gather, you know, other people within the DJ community for support, people that he's done work with. And you've never seen other DJs abandon this guy quicker than they did. They were just like, you know, I don't agree with this. And so then I came back in and I said, in case you're wondering what's going on, we're going to call him Sam for this. That's not his name. I said, in case you're wondering what's going on, Sam, these are people abandoning you right now because you are incorrect. And so then he said, oh, this is totally what I would expect from an overpriced blah, 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 blah. And I said, here, let me rewrite your ad as it should have been written. I said, I am Sam. I am the Payless shoe source of DJs. I may not be in business next year, but if you want to buy something that may or may not make it through the evening, would love to have your business. I'm a horrible person. I have since repented since I posted that. And then let me also say, before I get the pushback on this thing, I grew up on Payless shoes. I know that they, listen, a Payless shoe is better than no shoe. A Payless shoe will get you to school for a little while. But when we stopped buying Payless shoes and started paying just a little bit more for the shoes, they lasted a little longer. All the time. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So,
well, it sounds like, you know, he's playing that game, that game, exactly what you just described. But to me, it's like we live in a world that unless you want something that's like someone that really will do a great job and who will bring their personality like you would do to it, and you want to pay for that, of course, that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want that, there is no value to a DJ.
Yeah.
Because I can go and make a playlist of all the songs I want. I can program the entire night and just let that thing run.
Right.
And if that's what you're looking for, which I think back in, you know, the 90s or before, and, you know, a lot of people could get off being a DJ and just doing that,
mm-hmm.
not bringing any personality, not bringing anything to it.
Right.
And I know that's not what you do. You bring a party. You bring everything with it. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so, if you want that, you can just do a playlist. He, in my opinion, he's talking himself right out of business.
Yes. And that's what everyone else said. Anyway, I'm a horrible person. He ended up calling me a horrible name. He ended up, and it was only two messages that I replied that got him to call me a horrible name. I was like, nah, that's pretty good. That's a new record right there. I'm a horrible internet troll. Everyone, please forgive me or lash me with your flaxen cords. Or, you know, your cat o' nine tails.
This sounds like one of my trainings I give at work. We could give a whole sales training all about this and discuss this, but we won't.
Perfect. But we will not be doing that. Let's take a break. I want to take a quick second and talk to you about Best DJ in Utah now in its second year. Last year, I went to Washington, to Roche Harbor, and did a gorgeous wedding. This year, I'm slated to go to Moab, to go to Denver to do weddings. And guys, it couldn't be going any better. Thanks in large part to folks like yourself, people who are listening to this and say, you know what? I need a wedding or a mobile DJ for something. And then reach out to me. You can go to bestdjinutah.com. You can find me on all of the social medias at Richie T. Stedman, or you can certainly just send me an email, Richie, R-I-C-H-I-E-T as in tough guy, Stedman, S-T-E-A-D-M-A-N @gmail.com. I would love to see what I could do to make your event that much better. Whether it's a party or the biggest day of your life, you need the best DJ in Utah. And like I said, it doesn't have to be in Utah. It can just be the best DJ in Utah. I don't know. Now we start to get into like the technical things. It's bestdjinutah.com.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hey, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops. Are you experiencing panic attacks, nausea, or diarrhea? Is your computer not turning on? Is it running super slow? Is your internet crawling? Or is it just randomly crashing? You could be suffering from ICS, Irritable Computer Syndrome. I want you to ask yourself, when was the last time you had your PC cleaned? Over time, Windows, updates, spyware, malware, and dangerous viruses will make your computer run like crap. You need to bring in your laptop or desktop PC, no matter what brand it is, and let me run a 100% free virus scan, malware, and spyware scan on your computer. Don't wait and risk losing everything. Now, why are we doing this for free? Because we want to impress you so much that if you or any of your friends or family need a computer, service, or phone repair, you come to PC Laptops first. Get into any one of our locations right now or check us out at PCLaptops.com. PC Laptops, where computers start at $799. PC Laptops, we love you!
It's time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
And here we go. Now, I'll remind you again in case you stopped listening. Maybe as you're listening to this show available in podcast form, you clicked pause, the kids came in. Maybe you weren't fully paying attention. You're wondering, why are they not talking about the Church Handbook of Instructions? Kurt and I will talk about that later. But Andrew, I'm going to give you that great grace, that great pleasure of doing the first news story. Dazzle me, would you please?
Yeah, so the church just released their new Gospel Living app this week.
Yeah, have you played on it?
A little bit. It doesn't really apply as much to me. I don't serve in the youth with the youth, and I don't have kids or teenagers or anything like that. So the most I can do is kind of share between me and my wife, because mm-hmm. that's the only circle that I'm part of. I see a lot of potential and hope that it grows into the Elders Quorum and the Relief Society, and I think there's a lot of value there. I also see why, though, they're starting with the youth, because this is some great opportunities here. What I like about it, though, even for personal, even without the circles, is they have a place for journaling and a place for goal setting. And you can even set calendar items and everything else. And then once they are involved in circles like the Priest Quorum or the formerly Laurels, I don't know what they call them now or whatever.
The not laurels.
Yeah. They can share within those circles, and it becomes like a social media scenario. I like that. There's one quote from the article. This is the article on thechurchnews.com, and it was Sister Bonnie H. Gordon said, "We can share the wonderful, inspiring content we find, and that we can." And she said also in another place, and I'm not seeing it, we can disconnect and connect with the Lord or the gospel. And that's kind of the idea of it, to kind of build a community of saints online, not necessarily only on Facebook. Obviously, Facebook and other social media are going to still be there. We're going to still very much connect that way. But this gives another place for us to have that.
One of the things that I loved is like they launched it, right? They're like, go and download it. And what is it called? How would people find it?
The Gospel Living app. So just go to iTunes or Google Play or wherever you get your apps, and it's just called Gospel Living app.
So people can download it there. They launched it, and then like the day later or something like that, they're like, whoa, hey, just kidding. We just wanted to change some things and update it a little bit. I guess in the original version, like you couldn't create your own groups. It was only, or circles, I guess I should say.
Maybe I haven't even updated that. Maybe that's why I haven't been able to create my own circles yet, but. Yeah, I think it's also because I'm not a youth.
Yeah, well,
still way too old to be using. Yeah.
they do face scanning and they're like, youth? No, nope. Actually,
you are old.
That is not a youth right there. Definitely no sort of youth.
Yeah, and if you ask my wife, not only am I not a youth, I'm a very old man.
Yeah. And your four-legged kids are like,
Norm. She's just laying there as you do that.
Yeah. This from the Salt Lake Tribune. You can find links to all these articles at theculturalhall.com. A man and two teenagers have been arrested for allegedly attacking a black Latter-day Saint missionary in Payson. Now, you hear Payson and you think, where is that? If you're not from Utah, you may not know that Payson is a sleepy community on the south end of Utah County, the same county that has Provo and BYU, for example. The arrests come a day after prosecutors charged two brothers, Malachi Bay West, age 20, and Sebastian Francis West, age 19, with a hate crime in connection to the same alleged assault. A group of 5 to 6 people allegedly attacked this missionary, calling him a racial slur, hitting him, and pushing him to the ground on January 28th. The missionary and his companion were on their way to a family's house near 200 North and 100 East when the group confronted them, police said. Police said in a Thursday news release that leads pointed them to 3 additional suspects. Those are a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 16-year-old. Those youths' names were not released. The Salt Lake Tribune, which is who's reporting this, doesn't generally identify adults accused of crimes who have not yet been charged. The statement says that all 3 were directly involved in the attack, but doesn't say how. It's a horrible, horrible story. This guy, the missionary, is a Panamanian gentleman, and he was there with his white companion in Payson. This group of 5 to 6 people jump the missionaries.
So this isn't an LDS. This is against him as a race.
Yeah.
A race.
Well, I mean, maybe. But they definitely consider that it is definitely racially motivated because there are
because they didn't attack the other one.
Yeah, yeah. The white companion, they did not attack. They only attacked the Panamanian elder and attacked him a lot. You know, yeah. Not just like a kick, a punch. It was racial slurs. It was.
Well, it makes me wonder what was going through that white elder's mind. And I mean, I would never like. Was he like trying to get involved or was he just like dumbfounded? I wouldn't blame him for either one. Cause I mean, what do you do?
I mean, for me, I would really hope that he's like, guys, stop, and trying to insert himself and get the thing broken up. Here's the deal. It's 2020 and this is not okay. Right?
Yeah. No, it's not.
It's not okay to jump anybody. And it's especially
in 1920.
Not okay.
It's not okay. Yeah. But
I wasn't around. I don't know. I can't speak to 1920. But I can speak to today, which is, you know, this is horrible. This is a thing that, you know, that we need to help our kids understand is terrible. I think that this is an opportunity, parents of children, to be able to speak to them about these things continuing to go on, especially in Utah. It's not okay. It's horrible. The things they were saying about that elder are not okay. You know, and let me go stronger and say they are wrong. I don't think that's surprising to anyone. We should completely turn away from any sort of racist anything. It's wrong. I hope that because it's a hate crime that those people get charged with even more than just had they, you know, just jumped this elder, because it is the worst kind of wrong and terrible that it happened.
And I hope it's not. I hope these guys aren't LDS. I mean, they probably are. I mean, I hope they don't have any ties to the church, but they might, you know, hey, they live in Utah.
Sure. Payson, especially, yeah. You know, smaller
yeah,
town.
Payson,
one of the kids' name is Malachi, although we don't have the lockdown on the name Malachi. But it does make it an interesting twist if for some reason, like these are guys who are members of the church and racists.
Agreed, especially, yeah. Anyway, I don't know what else to say about it other than what you said, because it's just wrong.
Yeah, it's just horrible. Do you have another news story? That might be something you could say.
Let's switch and make it a nicer news story, because that was not a new fun
okay.
news story.
Just so you know, the only other story that I have is horrible.
Okay, great. I'll do all the fun stuff. I've got 2 more stories.
Perfect.
So down in El Salvador, Elder Soares was visiting.
I'm sorry, it's El Salvador.
El Salvador. Okay. I'm white.
Come on,
I'm
Norm.
I'm a white. Nope. I'm from Utah.
Listen,
from
I also
say El Salvador.
El Salvador. It's an opportunity to practice with it. And I don't mean it with any disrespect. But you know what that means if you translate it, right?
No.
The Salvador.
Savior?
The Salvador. The Savior? I probably Savior, but I know at the very least, the Salvador is what that means.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I'm so glad to know for sure that it's the
Salvador.
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 Elder Soros was down there, so he's scheduled to preside over a state conference, but he needed to leave really quickly. So the stake is located 2 hours away. He wanted to still be able to visit him, and that he wasn't going to be able to visit the stake for some reason, mm-hmm. but because he needed to fly out.
Mm-hmm.
So they bust in 700 plus people.
Cool.
So they were all really close to the airport, so he could literally just go get on a plane and get out. And I thought this was a really fun story of like just Mormons like getting together, or members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints getting together.
Heretofore known as the Mormons, because we don't have the bandwidth to say that every time.
That's right. And they rented these buses. They just jumped in buses and headed down. And I thought, what a good story in a modern day pilgrimage to go see an apostle. And I thought it was really cool. I just thought it was a fun story. I couldn't find my cousin who's a stake president down in El Salvador.
El Salvador. You have a cousin who's a stake president in El Salvador? How did that happen?
Yeah, so he moved down there for work, and then he became a stake president.
Okay.
Doesn't appear to be his stake, because it doesn't mention him. You'd probably think it would mention the stake president's name, but it might be, and I'll have to ping him and ask him.
Definitely someone kind of thinking out of the box, which is what I appreciate. I've never heard of anything like that.
So, I think it's pretty cool that they all... Hey, we don't want to miss the opportunity to see an apostle. Let's rent all these buses and let's get everyone there. And it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Kind of a cool story.
That's awesome. What's your other story? Because maybe we'll go yours and then to mine, and then we'll
get to
the...
So just want to talk Roots Tech a little bit.
Ooh,
Roots Tech
is
this Saturday, even though I gave away when we're actually recording this. This is going to be like posted on Monday, so it'll be this
Saturday. Don't bring it up
Saturday.
Again, Andrew.
Yeah, sorry. Andrew. Sorry, I was poking that wound, poking that. So this Saturday Roots Tech was coming. So that's the big, huge, genealogy, or what do they call it? The family history conference. Yep.
They have the largest choir singing the old song. Do you remember the old song?
Genealogy.
I am doing it. My genealogy.
Okay. That was terrible.
I lounge sing it.
There you go. We could just do the like the one guy in every choir
that sings way too loud.
Way too loud. That's probably me.
Yeah, same here.
And the reason why I am doing it.
And then you get the one church choir leader that wants to do it a little bit different, and so you're underneath.
That's
and then
right.
I'm like, and they decided to do their genealogy. And then they came forth with a family tree like never seen before. And then the music swells and we sing the final verse and everyone goes, that was tremendous. Thank you.
All
church.
That to say, Roots Tech is this Saturday at the Salt Palace in Salt Lake City.
Oh, did we get
Lake
distracted?
City.
Okay.
February 26th through 29th. Well, I just thought, I think it's cool how big it is. And I have friends who work in that industry. I have a friend who... wrote a program called Personal Historian, and they all go there, and it's huge. And apparently, I mean, they have things like 300 different classes. So if you want to know how to do some family history, go on Saturday, go to Salt Palace, and there's classes on everything you can imagine. So I think it's kind of a cool thing. I wish I was closer to it. And here's what sucks. I never went to it when I lived in Ogden, and now I look at things that are going on back there in Utah, and I think, man, I never took advantage of that when I was in town.
Yeah. So. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've never been. I have never gone to Roots Tech.
So you should
before.
Go. Well, you should do a Culture Hall live.
Maybe I'll do
Facebook live.
Maybe I will do something like that, because this Friday when the Roots Tech is going on, I don't have a DJ thing that night. So maybe I'll take the misses.
That would be cool. Wander around.
We'll go check it out. Maybe we can catch
do some Facebook live from there.
Some pretty big speakers. I mean, Emmett Smith, that used to play for the Cowboys, running back, he'll be there.
Yeah.
Ryan Hamilton, a great
He's hilarious.
Member of the church comedian. He's very good. He'll be there. Lots of other folks, too. Maybe I'll check that out. Maybe I will. Well, website's what? RootsTech.org? Something like that?
I left the site. I left that, probably.
I know that you can go on, if you are listening to this and you live in Utah, or if you're going to be in Utah.
RootsTech.org.
Yeah, yep. RootsTech.org. There's a way I think you can go Saturday for free.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A portion of the thing is free because they try and make it open and accessible to as many as possible. I know, like, the big speakers, right, the big keynotes, like your Emmett Smith's, probably not free, although I'm sure right. They have a keynote or two that the general public can attend.
I wonder if – so Gary E. Stevenson of the Quorum of the Twelve is speaking.
Yeah. I wonder if that's –
so I wonder if that's free.
Yeah.
Is a free one-day event geared – yeah, so that's the Family Discovery Day, it looks like. Free one-day event geared towards family.
Is that Saturday?
That's Saturday.
Nice. Yep. Nice. All right. So is that all your news stories? Because we're going to end on this heavy one and then get heavier with the Church Handbook of Instructions.
I just want to remind everyone about the new Wi-Fi network. Wi-Fi network. Moving from LDS access to the Liahona. And I'm not – they've asked you not to give out the password.
Alma 3738.
Hey, they said don't do it, even though it's everywhere online.
There's already memes. There's so
but
many.
But it wasn't going to be me who said it, right?
Yeah,
but anyway, no. Alma 37.
My name, you're listening to my voice. My name is Andrew Mayer. Some call me Norm. My membership number is.
There you go.
All right.
So, well, yeah, that's changing. No, I think a lot of it'll. This is why I bring it up, is that a lot of people are like, oh, does that mean everything will fall apart? No, they won't. Mm. The old LDS access will continue working till April 15th, just giving you that time to be able to switch. So between now and April 15th, switch over. That way you don't have any problems.
Well, and
one of the things that – go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say they're working simultaneously. Like, it's two networks in my church house. I remembered as I got to church and looked it up and went, sure enough, there's Liahona. Bloop. Bleep, bloop, and grab my
what
wife's phone.
What they're doing
and
is making bloop, bloop. It so it's not everyone who walks into the door will automatically join anymore. So on the new Liahona network, you will have to once a day just accept the usage, you know, the thing we never read, you know.
Yeah.
The use, you know, the.
You do like, you give all of your account information, including your passwords, to the church? Agree.
Agree. Yeah. So you'll have to agree once a day. That'll stop. Things from just automatically updating and using a lot of bandwidth for no reason because I walked in the door and it was connected and it's auto updating.
Yeah.
So it'll reduce bandwidth and it'll increase security simply just because when I walk in and I want to use it, I have to physically go in and accept that once a day.
Yep.
But I don't have to walk in every Sunday morning and then right as a sacrament is going, accept it. So then I can check Facebook while they're giving the talks.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
No, you're not. And that's fine. I won't judge you. Listen, I am not judging you. Okay, so this final story we haven't really talked too much about here in the Cultural Hall, but I want to give it as much of its due as we can. Chad Daybell and his wife, Lori. Now, if you're unfamiliar with who these folks are, they were living in Idaho. As I understand it, Lori has a couple of kids. One from one marriage, one from another marriage, and she recently was made single and then got married to Chad, who also was married and then was made single. And I think she died, as I understand.
So did her husband.
Yeah.
So I mean, his wife.
Yeah.
I mean, her husband died mysteriously by her brother killing her.
In self defense
is what it's claimed. Definitely. So, oh, I watched the whole Dateline the other night on it. I was so disturbed. I barely could sleep the whole night.
And the wife, allegedly from natural causes, though now because of this, they're questioning it. So they have these two kids that Lori has been. Lori is the the mother, but the guardian of, and these kids haven't been seen since September. So Chad and Lori, they head off to Hawaii, the island of Kauai, a beautiful, beautiful island. But
just
still
wandering around having fun.
Yeah, just, you know, just doing their newly married thing. No one's seen the kids. A court in Idaho said, hey, Lori, you've got until this day to produce your kids, to let us know that those kids are okay and that we'll be able to see them and know that they're fine. That day came and went, nothing. And so they started investigating more. They tried to track them down. They were able to do it. So now she, that is Lori Daybell, has, or I should say, she, some
were
referred to
Vallow.
Yeah,
Lori
Vallow.
Now Daybell.
Yeah. She is in custody on a $5 million like bail, right? That or bond. What is it? She can't get out
bail
unless someone
bond.
Pays, you know, $5 million, yeah. Right? A considerable yeah. amount of money to be paid in order for her to get out. He is not in custody, and probably because at this point, although married to Lori, he has not broken the law, right? I mean, I
or
guess
that they can prove.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That they have anything to post on him. Now, here is where, if that was not enough, where it gets just even more interesting. So Chad is an author, and by that I mean he's published his own books. He's a part of a group called LDS Avow. It stands for Another Voice of Warning. Their mission is to help the saints begin to prepare for the second coming of Jesus Christ. There are 13,000 members on this Facebook group, the LDS Avow group. Access to the forum is restricted to members who pay a fee to enter. So it's not just a come one, come all kind of group. You have to pay to be a part of it. And it's 13,000 strong, which is crazy that there are that many people that pay to be a part of it. But there was a message that was posted on behalf of Chad recently. It's a screenshot that was posted by or shared by Julie Rowe, an author whose books Chad has published. And I believe, and people would have to look at this, but I'm 90% sure that I had Julie Rowe in the Cultural Hall before. If not, we almost had Julie Rowe in the Cultural Hall before. Because her name sounds pretty familiar, and I'm pretty sure I had the chance to talk to her.
R-O-W?
R-O-W-E. Anyway, he has said, and quote, "Thanks for the update. The issue is that people are linking me to Julie's beliefs, which I studied but rejected. Lori and I have been absolutely silent for 3 months. I am constrained by my lawyers from saying more until this," and this is the word that he uses and that people are taking a lot of umbrage with. He says, "I am constrained by my lawyers from saying more until the legal mess is complete. But be assured, I will be back," the alleged message from Chad read. "Hopefully the subscribers will be there when I can fully return to Avow and tell my experiences. I appreciate your support." So that's a 17-year-old Tylee, a 7-year-old JJ. They haven't been seen since September 23rd. Lots of people fear that that they have either died or have been killed. None of those things have been confirmed, but it just is.
It just sounds way off.
Yeah, it. As you mentioned, you saw the thing on Dateline. That's what they did for Valentine's Day for folks who were just like, "Hey, what do you want to do for Valentine's? You want to go out and see a romantic movie? Nah, let's stay in and watch Dateline about people who may or may not have extreme religious beliefs and killed their spouses. Does that sound cool?" Yeah, sure.
They definitely do have extreme religious beliefs, but yeah. Did they kill their spouses or not? That's still a question, but it's really, really hard to think otherwise. I mean, just so many things keep pointing it one way. Now, understandable, that's for the law to determine. That's mm-hmm. not for me
sure.
to determine.
Sure.
But everything about it makes me just squirm. And truly, I was so upset. I had a real hard time sleeping about it, sleeping that night. And I just couldn't imagine how that goes. Doesn't look like Julie row ever was on the.
Okay, so it might have just been something we were tracking down and working on, and then didn't ever happen. So we remain to be seen. I will say this about that: I hope that Tylee and JJ are safe. I hope that this story doesn't end the way that many people are speculating that it will. I hope that they're just, you know, they're just hanging out with someone somewhere else.
What strikes me about it is
off the grid.
In both cases, they look like the type of people who would just be like, you know, he looks like someone who would have served my mission with.
Right.
He looks like he seems to act very much like, you know, I won't mention his name, but an elder I can think of who's just as sweet and kind as you can possibly be. And so does she.
Right.
And so it just really throws a wrench in the works. And you know, your stomach squirms when you think that possibly this could be happening to these kids, and it could have been done by these two, or
one step further. So they've been living on Kauai for the last, I don't know how long. There are pictures and a security video, because the church out in Kauai has a secure video, because there's an open courtyard in the middle of the church like property. There is video of Chad and Lori at church, just in the pews. And some people who saw and recognized who they were aware of what was going on as they attended church, who were like, no, stay away from these people. Let's not talk to them. And other people who were like, oh, you know, welcome to the ward. Who are you? We'd love to meet you. And that Chad and Lori were like, oh, yeah, no, they're just blowing it out of proportion. It's not, you know, it's not any sort of thing.
It's the legal mess. This
legal mess. I don't know what I would do if something or someone like that.
Well, they interviewed her former best friend. I don't know if she would consider herself best friend in Kauai, because she at Lori at one time lived on Kauai.
Oh, I didn't get that connection. Ago. Yeah.
So she said that when she came, they were just kind of nonchalant about it, and it really upset her.
Yeah,
because she's been following it as well, and it's just anyway. It's we could probably go on. We probably shouldn't.
Yeah,
because it's just disturbing.
But definitely a story that we'll follow here in the Cultural Hall as more things, you know, come out, and we'll do our sloppily best job of being able to share those news stories with you. Andrew, thank you so much for coming on and spouting back some news. I always appreciate your availability and certainly that you were able to hook a microphone up there in the tabernacle. I'm going to make
I'll be listening with bated breath at your conversation about the General Handbook.
You're listening to the Cultural Hall Podcast with your host, Richie T. Stedman and Lauren Johnson. It's a podcast about Mormon stuff. So you're listening to a podcast with your host, Lauren Johnson and Richie T. Interviewing people and talking about conference. It's a Mormon thing. It's a Cultural Hall, so let's begin now.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for bearing with us as we blend into new technology. It's not new for Kurt. Kurt does this stuff all the time. But leading Saints, it's a lot more serious than the Cultural.
I've never noticed.
I mean, you have to notice a little, don't you, Curtis?
Well, you know, you do have some pretty heavy hitters come through with the Cultural Hall.
Sure.
I get podcast envy from time to time.
Do
with you?
You get the podcast envy? That's nice of you to say. I don't hear that. Let's talk a little bit more about that for a minute.
About how I envy you?
Yeah, podcast envy. I'm down. Sometimes I get in a dark place. I'd love to hear about that podcast envy a little bit.
Well, you know, you're the professional. You just make this sound easy.
Oh, stop, Kurt. The stuff you guys are doing, I'm actually looking pretty forward to being able to go on the church history tour with all the listeners of Leading Saints and of the Cultural Hall. That's going to be an awesome time. Looking forward to that.
We may never speak after, but it'll be a fun time.
You don't think we may speak?
I don't know. Something may go down, Richie.
Well, here's the deal as far as that goes in my mind. If you step out of line, both your wife and your parents will be there to keep you in line.
Wasn't that your dad will be there, right?
Well, sure. Yeah, and my stepmom, my snoring stepmom, as a matter of fact, she has to. This is a true story, and she'll be embarrassed. She's got the sleep apnea, right?
Ooh, uh-huh. Because the machine thing and everything?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she's got the CPAP, right?
CPAP.
So mom and dad sleep, or I should say dad and stepmom sleep in separate bedrooms because, like, it is logs. And not like, you know, not like your cottonwood, you know, like your cottonwood trees, like your big redwood kind of logs.
Is this going to go on your main on the main podcast episode?
Or? Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, okay. 100%. All right.
Yeah, all this.
Hey,
all this.
She, we'll get, I guess she doesn't listen.
And
all
we'll
right.
Get, yeah, and we'll get to church handbook in a second. But part of the deal is, so since we're doing the tour with KimuraTours.org, check it out. They do church history tours and all sorts of like church-related tours all the time. That one the week before us, I think they're still available if people want to go be able to see the Hill Kimura in its last year. You can check out a couple of those spots. But part of the condition of my dad saying, hey, yeah, yeah, let's do this church history tour is that she has to figure out how she can sleep more silently. Otherwise, he's not going to take her.
Well, there's some motivation.
Well, because here's the deal. I mean, the church tour, it's not free, right?
Right.
It can be it can be a little spendy, and it's based on a double occupancy. So at the point that you have to buy another room on top of your based on double occupancy.
Not going to fly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Expensive. It gets become cost prohibitive, as the kids would say. So so I'm looking forward to having them with us. My wife, the non-member.
Yeah. Oh, is she excited?
I mean, so here's the deal. She loves me a lot. A lot. And is patient a lot, as you would have to be to marry someone mm-hmm. like me.
You said it, Richie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, we talk once a month, and you're like, oh, God, I got that done. I got that out of
here.
The way.
Ugh.
Podcast envy, sure, but I'm glad I don't have to talk to him. but I mean, I think that there are parts that she'll really enjoy. And to be frank, I think that there are parts that like that only my dad will enjoy, or you know what
oh,
I'm saying?
Right.
Like there is definitely parts that I think she's looking more forward to than anything else. I'm looking forward to that. Definitely the Niagara Falls portion of the.
I got to get my passport, man.
I know. I got to do it.
Got to get it.
I got to do it. And it's like 90 days. Are we 90 days? Okay, I'm still good. I'm still good.
But then two more weeks to procrastinate.
Yeah, but then they're going to find out about me, and then they're going to start asking questions and all that stuff.
You got to call a senator's office, and they have to make phone calls.
Can we make special permission?
And, Mitt, please.
Yeah, and they're like, Mitt. listen, Brother Stedman, if you call Mitt Romney's office one more time. Okay. So the church did that whole release of the church handbook thing, a never done before thing. And what I love is that there's no part one, part two.
That's right. Just the single series. It's like, you know, they took the series and put it into one book.
They learned a lesson from Star Wars and thought, one's enough.
Yeah, it's plenty. And there's no cliffhanger at the end, unfortunately. But
and Jesus comes and then it's like ellipses at the end. And you're like, wait, there's no more pages. Where are the other pages of this? That would be awesome. It's a shame. It's a missed opportunity. But I tasked you with the task of giving me the updates on all of it. Now, I've been on social media today, and it's unavoidable if you're on any portion of the Twitter stake to see some of the things. But we've got, you know, 10 minutes or so. Give me the juicy.
You want me to do this in 10 minutes, Richie?
15
got
minutes.
90 minutes of content.
Listen, I am not other podcasts where it's like, cool, so they made changes, awesome, thanks for giving me 90 minutes of my life back, other podcasts.
Yeah, you know, this could be a podcast spinoff, Richie. You could have a whole podcast dedicated to the handbook.
Yep.
And I will not co-host that with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, thank you please and thank you.
Yeah, so the handbook was the new handbook was released, and I've just like many other bishops and stake presidents out there who have not gotten any work done today mm-hmm. because they're just scouring this handbook, which has so much information. And it's one of those things that's not like go to this page, second paragraph, there's the change. Like throughout the book is just complete. I mean, there's little nuances. Everything from they now have a statement in the handbook that encourages one to take the sacrament with their right hand.
Okay? Interesting.
That's how detailed
that.
It gets.
Okay.
And
okay.
They've removed things like no reference to white shirt and tie when passing the sacrament.
Interesting.
So, which is good, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
I don't quite understand the right hand thing. I guess
it's symbolic. I got to remember, It's not right hand as close as God, but I think it's symbolic of being on the right hand of God, because being on the left hand of God is, you know, that whole thing. It seems a little dogmatic.
Right. And as a left hander myself, I'm kind of offended. I've been marginalized and it's sad.
Not only offended, but you're that poor guy, like the one, like the little kids that I like to look at when they try and bring the water to their mouth and miss, like with your with your right hand as you try and bring the bread. You're like, come on.
Right. So I'm going to have to work on my coordination, hand to mouth with the right hand. So
sure.
So anyways, there's all sorts of nuances in this handbook that that is worth. I mean, I try not to, you know, burn too much of my workday for you, Richie. Sure. I mean, I've got to get things done. Okay.
Sure, but I know you. I know you found out more than that. So let's just burn through them. We don't have to elaborate.
So do you want to go to the most controversial parts that come out here?
Yeah.
And that would be in chapter 38, which is titled Church Policies and Guidelines.
Is it divide? So is it divided like how the old one was, where it's like sections and, you know, subsections and all? Okay, so it's...
Oh, yeah. So you're going to hear a lot of references of like 38.1.2.
Okay. So chapter 38, Church Policy and Guidelines.
So I remember from the last handbook, you know, I did go through a phase of my life where I had access to handbook one, mm-hmm. and there was basically, as far as transgender individuals, there was probably a paragraph, if not a few sentences.
Sure.
Dedicated to that issue. And obviously individuals who identify as transgender, that can, I mean, it left a lot of bishops wondering, left them wondering, and then it left, you know, bishops sort of making up and guessing on how they should handle certain issues, and
right.
hearts were broken and people offended and so forth. And I want to recognize that, I mean, I think the church has made a good stride in being very much more open, uh-huh. loving, yeah. encouraging love. But at the same time, I also want to empathize with the transgender community that maybe they hope for different policies and guidelines.
Sure.
And it is what it is. So the basic of the, and so I'll just go through some of these, but so the main focus of treating transgender with sensitivity, kindness, compassion, and abundance of Christ-like love. And the basic premise of it all is that transgender individuals, they basically come down to, social transitioning, medical transitioning, and surgical transitioning, as far as three different areas.
Okay.
And so there may be people that fall in a variety of those transition activities.
Okay.
And the point being is that regardless of where they're at, if an individual, I'm probably not saying this right, but basically if an individual is to a place where they're not intentionally trying to transition to the other gender that they were other than where when they were born, then they have opportunity to take the sacrament, hold callings, you know, and even be receive a temple recommend, as long as, you know, they're not socially transitioning. And then the other thing that, let's see, they can receive priesthood ordination, and temple ordinances are received according to birth sex, as long as they are not pursuing medical, surgical, or social transition.
Okay.
They can be in full standing and receiving all ordinances. So I don't want to get too much in the weeds here, but the fact is, it's just help. I think it'll help a lot of leaders, and at least we have some guidelines, something to work with.
Sure.
With that sort of thing. So, and the other thing with this is that no decision, like obviously there's going to be cases where, you know, it's unique, and maybe we should consider this transgender female to attend Relief Society or not. And so what do you do with that? Well, all of those cases are the local leader is required to take that up to the Area 70. And so what rules out is that there won't be any bishop roulette when it comes to this issue. Like, okay. Like a bishop can't say yay or nay on certain things. Sure. He has to run it up the line. Same with the stake president.
So it's authority roulette. Got it.
Right. So because you may have a stake president in one area that's open to doing it certain ways. And then people think, that's the stake president I want. So I'm going to go to church there. And another stake president who's maybe more strict on things. And they'll think, well, I'm not going to go there. So this sort of allows each case to be happened on that more general level. Is it the perfect approach? I don't know. Who knows? We'll see how it goes.
But it's different, certainly.
It's different. Exactly. So is that enough? I mean, there's a lot more there as far as details.
Sure. And I think we dive into that more in the future. So let's talk about, do you know anything about the membership councils or whatever they're called now? It's not, It's not disciplinary councils. We're taking away disciplining people.
Right. And this is fantastic. So all of what was once a disciplinary council is now a membership council. And so one phrase that stuck out to me is restricting or withdrawing a person's membership is not intended to punish. Rather, these actions are sometimes necessary to help a person repent and experience a change of heart. Mm-hmm. They also give a person time to prepare spiritually to renew and keep his or her covenants again. So I really like this part because when I had the opportunity to serve as a bishop, it can easily feel that way, especially when you're using language like discipline, mm-hmm. you know,
and
council,
excommunication.
Right. Right. So it feels like, oh, we're actually going to drop a punishment for you. So, you know, you're excommunicated for a year or you're disfellowshipped for 6 months. And, why are we getting punished for our sins when Christ died for our sins? Right. So I think it removes that frame of mind, which is great. So, and like I said, there's no more term disfellowshipment. That is a formal restriction, I think it's called.
So it sounds like to me though, because I know excommunication is now membership withdrawal. So, in some ways, that just seems like a rebrand, right? Like, excommunication's pretty hard, you guys. What else can we call it? Well, we don't want to call it Mormonless. Let's call it membership withdrawal. And I don't mean any disrespect, but on some level, isn't some of it just the power in the words? And maybe that's to the credit of it, but isn't some of it just the words behind it?
Sure, and it softens it for sure with these things. But I think it is crucial for this, because a good friend of mine who's currently excommunicated, but he's currently not a member of the mm-hmm. church because mm-hmm. of a member.
He withdrew his membership, but maybe had someone withdraw it for him.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Anyways, so like this was big for him because a lot of people can assume the excommunication. We jump to the conclusion of, oh, you actually can't communicate with the Spirit anymore. That's too bad. Right? Right. Or you can't feel the Spirit in meetings and things. And he's like, well, actually I feel it all the time. Like I feel God's love around me all the time. Like what do you mean I can't? Right. And so I think just when we get rid of these words, it helps us not perpetuate some of these false perspectives when it comes to these things.
That, sure.
Of course, somebody who's excommunicated or is not a member of the church can still feel the Spirit.
Sure.
And still have a relationship with, sure. with God and so forth. So,
although to be quite technical, you are removed the gift of the Holy Ghost that has to be restored by the laying on of hands after being rebaptized.
Right, and that's a discussion for itself, right there. But
take it from me, it's a great time.
It's a great time.
But you don't have to take my word for it. Sorry.
Another thing with these membership councils that I really found was interesting is, they are, the high council is no longer required to be there. And it even says, more often than not, the high council will not be there. And so even on the stake level, these membership councils will be handled much like membership councils on a ward level, where it will be just the stake president and his counselors, and obviously maybe a clerk in the room to take minutes and so forth. And I really was excited to hear this because when I served in a stake presidency, many times we had a high council there, or you'd have, you know, you're required to have 12 high priests in the room.
Right.
And you kind of expressed this in the interview that we did this. It just kind of feels awkward at times. You're sort of like, okay, now why are we bringing in these 12 random individuals to counsel on this? And I get on paper why that may be the case, but a lot of times they sort of got in the way at times, like they'd ask questions that were a little naive or, and it was like, okay, now let's just move on and focus on this individual. And it became more distracting because they sort of wanted to help. And so they'd raise their hand and say things. And it's like, no, like just let's roll with this. And so I think this is great that the stake president has that option, or even the individual who's the membership council is for can request the high council be there for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But I think that makes a ton of sense because before I think we were just going through the motions with some of these disciplinary councils with having the high council there when it really wasn't necessary.
And for those 12 that don't have to go to that meeting anymore, hallelujah, they don't have to go to that meeting
anymore. And some of them, I mean, some could last hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I doubt there's a high councilman in the world who's going to miss those things. Well, I mean, they can be very spiritual, uplifting meetings.
But also just like brutal in despair and brutal in like emotionally taxing, all the things.
Yeah.
All the things.
For sure.
What else is new?
So that, I think, sums up as far as the church membership councils there. And then there's just little things. There's like more emphasis on or a different language used when describing the priesthood in general, as far as, you know, there's been more of this message of, you know, women may not be bearers of the Melchizedek priesthood or Aaronic priesthood, but they still act with the priesthood in certain callings when they're set apart, you know, by priest with priesthood keys and so forth. So that, that has been, updated and more in the modern message that we've been receiving, more emphasis, like for as far as welfare needs and temporal needs, the elders quorum president and relief society president, they've been more specific as far as their role in helping with the welfare process, helping the bishop with that.
What about, so I saw, and I didn't get a chance to read into this, so it's all right if you don't know, but I saw that it had some sort of effect on the church-run universities with LGBT stuff. Essentially, the language around LGBT issues, less the transgendered and more the LGB part of LGBT, like that it is more of a focus on any sort of sexual relation outside of marriage, yeah. And far less of, like, you know, focused on homosexuality or.
Yeah, like before, it kind of felt like homosexual acts were sort of in its own category. And now they've just sort of grouped them together with the law of chastity, right? That the law of chastity is, the having sexual relations between a man and a woman who are legally married, right? And so obviously, if you're legally married to the same sex and you're having sexual relations, and that doesn't mean it's not a sin, right? And so they've clarified that just lumping into the law of chastity rather than sort of making it feel like its own category of sin, right? So
and just to be clear, Mike Schur was affirming that that's the church standard, not me saying sure, like, oh, that's how that should be, or any sort of belief on my end. I want to be very clear that what I'm saying is sure, that's what they say.
Sure,
that's what,
right. that is what they say.
That is that is the rules and or doctrine. Sure.
That's right.
What else? What other things?
What else we got here? The rest is just sort of just the little things. Let me see what else I highlighted. Email for priesthood leaders. So bishops, this is, I don't know, totally related to general membership, but there's email is coming for priesthood leaders. So they'll have a separate email. And having served as a bishop, this is big because people don't understand, like, the dynamic when one individual who's maybe has gone through a church membership council and working with a bishop, they move to a different ward. Well, transferring that information is very difficult. And in the past, like when I was a bishop, you know, I was oftentimes you'd have to email certain information across, right. And it just sort of felt like, well, I don't know how else to get it to you. I guess I could mail it to you, but then I'm going to have to figure out like how to, I got to type this up, or I've got a printer, you know? And so, I think email would be great, one that they can receive official communication from the church, and then just communicating between priesthood leaders, that's going to be a lot more slick, and keeping the confidential information stay confidential, right?
And it's bishop is the first part of it. Bishop dot your last name at Leah Hona. No, I'm teasing.
I'm sure something like
and
that.
Everyone's password has to be Alma 3738.
Right. Yep. Other than that, I mean, those are the main things that stuck out, but there is a frequently asked questions, and this is on the app, right? So in the same section that
because
the
there is no printed
in.
Version of this handbook,
right?
To reemphasize, no way to print it, as I understand it, either. I mean, I guess you could if you screenshot it.
And there's a PDF version online that you can download, so you could easily print it that way. But
I guess printed, I should say printed very minimally and for like places that don't have great, you know, access to.
Right. And I don't think that's because they don't want it printed. I think it just allows them to update it more, more effectively and succinctly over time. And that was the other thing, and which I was referencing, they have these frequently asked questions of the new handbook on that page that goes into some of these details. But this is just sort of phase one of this new handbook update. They've got more coming because they said they could have just done it all at once, but then the new handbook wouldn't have come out till 2022.
Right.
But they wanted to get ahead of it and get this information out there as very President Nelson style, right? Like,
well,
let's just keep going.
And I mean, once they legalize coffee in April with April's general conference, there's all this stuff around there.
Yeah.
And once
if you read between the lines here, Richie, it's obvious.
And once they mandate the other side of the word of wisdom with your BMI, I mean, that is going to be a thing. That's just a few of the things. Mm-hmm. Taking your vitamin pills, I mean, that's part of it as well. all of those things. Well, cool. All right.
Two more things. I'll just quickly. They've come out with a new. There's a new transgender website as a resource. You can really dig into to figure out ideas and ways that you can minister and make your ward more welcoming to those individuals who identify as transgender. And then also a new same-sex attraction website, because before they had the Mormon and gay website, but obviously had the bad Mormon word in there. So. Right. They've,
what are the URLs on those?
So that is churchofjesuschrist.org /topics/transgender.
Okay.
And then the other one is churchofjesuschrist/topics/gay.
Okay. Okay.
So check those out. Great resources. And
I really wanted it to be Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and Gays.com.
Now that was taken.
That's so long. So. Yeah, some squatter already bought it. Some squatter, go ahead.
Yeah.
Buys up the website. It's a pretty exciting time, and I know both with the same-sex attraction website as well as the transgender, you can anticipate hearing a lot about that in the next few days as people go through it with a fine-tooth comb and go, hey, and the nice thing is. Updated online, they can make those changes, because in all likelihood, even though I'm sure people read through it, there are some things that we go, we're gonna go ahead and change that.
And that's great, and they can change it, and it'll just update on your phone, and we've got it right.
Absolutely. Curtis, whose name is not Curtis, it's Kurt Frankum from Leading Saints, leadingsaints.com.
.org.
Is it .org?
Yeah, well, we're a nonprofit, Richard, .org route. But .com, if you did type in .com, it'll get you to the same place.
Oh, yeah? Well, then keep quiet, pal. LeadingSaints.org, because they're a nonprofit.
That's right.
give them some shekels if you would like. Tell me, what have you got for Saturday's episode this week? What's the thing? What's the jam?
Well, we are in the process of every year we promote the North Star Conference, and I have the opportunity to sit on the board of North Star. And if you're not familiar with North Star, they are a third-party nonprofit organization, much like Leading Saints, but their focus is creating a community where LGBT Latter-day Saints who are striving to stay on the covenant path and keep their covenants, where they can find community and encouragement. And so they do a fantastic conference every year. And so one way that I promote that is I do certain interviews and episodes around that. So this Saturday, we are talking with three sisters who experience same-sex attraction, and they just talk about their experience about how leaders could better make room for them, make them feel comfortable, some things that are said and with the best intentions that come across maybe not as they would have hoped. And so it's a fantastic discussion, very uplifting, and that's what's happening Saturday.
And you can, I should mention, because at a future date, not tonight because I'm tired, we're going to talk about when I was on with you. Do you know off the top of your head what number episode that is, or do you do that way?
I don't number my episodes. Okay. So if you just
Google
Richie and Leading Saints, and you'll get it.
Yeah. You can find it there. A rousing discussion where we deal with the long forgotten practice of excommunication. That time my membership was withdrawn.
You can now say, Richie, that you'll never, ever be excommunicated again.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Amen, Curtis, whose name is not Curtis. It's Kurt Frankum, leadingsaints.org. Thank you so much for giving us all the information about all the church handbook of instructions. I hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body, Kurt.
And I hope that you'll... what's the next one? I hope that you'll pray that if you weren't able to listen this time, you'll be able to listen next time.
And that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.